And thank you, Beth. Friends, in this season after Easter, we are reflecting on resurrection. We heard a couple of, we spent the last few weeks in John 21 in that great resurrection appearance by the lake to the disciples. And today we're going to be talking about resurrection within us. And we're going to ask this big question: where do you find your security? Where do you find your ultimate security? And so we're going to listen to God's word from Colossians 3. Since you have been raised to new life with Christ, set your sights on the realities of heaven, where Christ sits in the place of honor at God's right hand. Think about the things of heaven, not the things of earth, for you died to this life, and your real life is hidden with Christ in God. And when Christ, who is your life, is revealed to the whole world, you will share in all his glory. So put to death the sinful earthly things lurking within you. Have nothing to do with sexual immorality, impurity, lust, evil desires. Don't be greedy, for a greedy person is an idolater, worshiping the things of this world. Because of these sins, the anger of God is coming. And you used to do these things when your life was still a part of this world, but now is the time to get rid of anger, rage, malicious behavior, slander, dirty language. Don't lie to each other, for you have stripped off your old sinful nature and all its wicked deeds. Put on your new nature and be renewed as you learn to know your Creator and become like Him. In this new life, it doesn't matter if you are a Jew or a Gentile, circumcised or uncircumcised, barbaric, uncivilized, slave or free. Christ is all that matters, and He lives in all of us. Would you pray with me? God, you have brought us to bear witness to your scriptures, to receive the witness of your Son, Jesus Christ. So by your Holy Spirit, speak a word to us this morning. If we need challenge, if we need comfort, if we need a reminder, if we need to be shaken out of our complacency, God, according to your will, may it be so. And may the words of my mouth and the meditation of all of our hearts together be pleasing and acceptable to you, our rock and our redeemer. Amen. So this letter to the Colossians, the church in Colossae, is this very kind of cosmic-sounding letter. As you're reading it, you'll see this kind of balance between very abstract and kind of theoretical things versus very practical things, like, knock that off. And throughout this letter, there's, you know, the questions about who's in charge and who's holding it all together and what Christ has done for us in the death and resurrection. And Colossians has this famous passage in the first chapter where it says, you know, Christ is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn of all creation. In him, all things hold together. For in him, the fullness of God was pleased to dwell. And through him, God was pleased to reconcile to himself all things on heaven or on earth by making peace through the blood of his cross. And then you hear again, knock that off, put on a new life. And so there's this, as scholars have studied this book, there's this wondering if maybe Paul was encountering a more Greek philosophical understanding of God that was making its way into the churches. And it would have been kind of a more disembodied understanding that, you know, nature in the world is bad and God is someplace else, but God is more of a pure thought, pure idea. And Paul might have been speaking to say, no, no, it's not just some nebulous sense of God. It's specifically Jesus Christ and the death and the resurrection and the ways that he taught us and loved us. And then it kind of goes, you have these two kind of balances. If you go too abstract, where you hear something beautiful and philosophical and you're like, that sounds really nice, but so what? But then you can kind of go the other way. And this is, I think, more of our modern day that we can tend towards, where we can focus on the material, what we have, what we do, who we are, and that's all that we have. Our world has been constructed in such a way, because of developments in history, because of developments in culture, where you can live without having to think about God. That's a very, it's a very modern kind of sentiment. But Paul is saying in this passage, you know, think about those heavenly things. So the resurrection is this middle point where Christ rises on that Sunday of Sundays and points us back to earth and God's call on each of us. But then there's this sense of, but don't focus too much on those things, because those things, items, possessions, circumstances, can only take us so far. So as Paul asks, when Paul commends to set your sights on the realities of heaven, he asks that question I mentioned at the beginning. What is most important? Where do you find your security? And it's kind of like, I wanted to find like a classic example of this. So it's kind of like Mary Poppins. And I'm not going to sing because no one deserves that. But if you know the, if you need the reminder, Mary Poppins, it's about the Banks family. It's this upper middle class Victorian family in England. And the patriarch, Mr. Banks, who works at the bank, very creative. And it's about how the family is trying to find a new nanny because the nanny has quit, because the kids have run away from home one too many times. And Mr. Banks is this kind of stern, authoritarian figure. And he wants a no-nonsense nanny, but instead he gets Julie Andrews. And for reasons that aren't explained, she has magical powers, and she teaches the kids about whimsy and takes them on adventures. And they learn the joy. They learn about joy and taking sugar with your medication. But Mr. Banks, the dad, he has to learn something else. Because what you keep coming up again and again is that Mr. Banks cares about the job. He cares about financial stability. He tells his children to stop being so frivolous. He wants to have a certain image. And given the pressures of life, these are very easy traps to fall into. It's actually a very sympathetic portrayal of him when you watch the movie. But as this family is going through these encounters and being taught about joy and creativity, and it's starting to wear down Mr. Banks, that he gets this inkling that he has to loosen up. He's got to embrace joy and wonder, and he's got to put his family ahead of his job. And in that pivotal moment where one of the children gets blamed for the bank losing some money, so the son George gives some of his money to his father to make up for it. And then Mr. Banks has this moment of whimsy and realization that he needs to go home and be with his family. Instead of the job being more important than his kids are more important than the job. But Paul takes it even further. Since you have been raised to new life with Christ, set your sights on the realities of heaven, where Christ sits in the place of honor at God's right hand. Think about the things of heaven. We talked earlier this year when we were discussing baptism, how baptism points us to our participation with Christ. When Christ dies, something with us dies with him. When Christ rises, something of us rises with him. The ultimate resurrection happens someday in the future, but we also participate in the resurrection now. Paul continues, so put to death those things in you and have nothing to do with sexual immorality, impurity, lust, evil desires, greed, which amounts to idolatry. So why would this need to be said to this church? Or maybe, why do we need to hear this? Because it's easy not to look at heavenly things when you're unsure if there's a heaven. When the world around us has been scientifically dissected, we can look further and further into the cosmos. And yet, despite all of our dissection and discovery and buildings, we know what it means to look too much at things, for people and circumstances and things to satisfy us, to bring security in ways they were never really meant to. There's this writer, Johann Hari, and he's written about depression and isolation in our modern era, and he talks about what he calls junk values. So last week, there was this headline where this snack pack called Lunchables, children's snack, is revealed to contain lead. And oftentimes it's served in public schools because it's an affordable option. And when you introduce chemicals into a body, your body's not going to work as it should. When you dump litter into a river, it's not just that particular drop of water it lands on. It might be spread throughout the whole ecosystem, depending on what it is. And so there are these things called junk values, where if you put junk in, junk comes out. It can lead to isolation, anxiety, and those things that people struggle with. You might feel that pull towards status or individualism, where you and yourself is the only thing, or takes priority. It might be focused on our performance or instant gratification. And whether it's lust or greed or pride or wrath or whatever it is that we might do, perhaps we act out in this way because we're asking things outside of us, and if those things don't do what they're supposed to do, we get into this feedback loop. If you feel like your worth, your security, your hope, your salvation is tied up into something outside of yourself, you're going to have a bad time. Because the bad news, friends, is that if we look to those things, they're not going to do what only God can do. So the invitation from Paul is to put to death all those things that want to make things a god or make ourselves a god. And if we open ourselves up to turning away from ourselves, to focusing on those realities of heaven, by putting things in their proper place, maybe it might be a letting go, maybe it's an easing off on the gas, or maybe it's dropping it completely. If we put to death our anger, our greed, our things that desire too much, if we put those things to death, friends, the good news of the gospel is we belong to the God who makes beauty out of dead things. Our God is the God of resurrection. When our pride, our grasping for power, our need for things to be as we want them to be, when we put these things to death, just as Christ died on the cross, God can raise up something good and beautiful in us. And as verse 10 says, put on your new nature, be renewed as you learn to know your Creator and become like God. The resurrection shows us God's desire to be with us, and we will be with God. And that even when things end within us, we gain those glimpses of heaven upon earth. And if we feel that there's something that needs to be put to death, sometimes we're just forced into big transitions where you're forced to face who you are. And this often happens in these big transition moments. If you get married or become a parent, you're forced to face yourself in new ways. If you get divorced or you lose a loved one, you come to face with something different. If you take on a new responsibility and you're put under the spotlight a little bit more, you might be faced with questions about yourself. And if you lose an opportunity or something moves outside of your control, which is to say, it's not a white knuckling, you have to do it yourself. It's sort of this comes your way, but it's the question is, what will you do with it? And you don't have to do it alone. If you're struggling or something needs to change, you have a pastor who's here for you. We can connect you with professionals or anonymous groups. We can connect you to build those friendships if you don't have that yet, those connections, those small groups where you can balance those places of trust and accountability. Because at the resurrection, Christ asks us, what do you truly value? Is it the things of this world or something deeper? Is it ourselves? Is it community? Is it God? Are we holding on to our lives, or are our lives hidden somewhere else, with someone else? So when we look to the reality of heaven, the reality of heaven come to earth, the new life revealed in Christ, it puts things in their right place. They are neither too bad nor too good. And so let me end with the words of the great saint of putting things in their right place, Saint Augustine of Hippo. So Augustine was this 4th century writer who was a theologian. He was a bishop. But before he came to know and love God, he was this hedonist who slept around. He stole. He went along with the crowd. And there's some wondering if maybe he suffered from addiction. But there's this famous passage from his spiritual biography where he talks about giving in to the God who sought him out, giving in to the God who pursued him through the natural world but isn't in the natural world, the God who made all things but is deeper than all things. And he learned not only that he believed in the God of creation, but that he loved the God of his salvation. So listen to these beautiful words. Late have I loved you, O beauty ever ancient, ever new. Late have I loved you. You were within me, but I was outside, and it was there that I searched for you. In my unloveliness, I plunged into the lovely things which you created. You were with me, but I was not with you. Created things kept me from you, yet if they had not been in you, they would not have been at all. You called, you shouted, and you broke through my deafness. You were bright, you shone, and you dispelled my blindness. You breathed onto me, and I drew in breath, and now I desire you. I have tasted, and I hunger and thirst for you. You have been with me, and I burn for your peace. Thanks be to God. Amen. Would you pray with me? God, you are the God of resurrection, of impossible, unlikely encounters, signs of new life, creative resilience, and speechless joy. God, you are the God of resurrection, of scars shown on real human bodies, alive telling stories of what is hurt and been made whole. God, you are the God of resurrection who is peace enfleshed, who moves through locked doors, who goes down dirt roads like those on the way to Emmaus, who waits on the beach smoking fish to eat breakfast. You are the one who breathes your Holy Spirit, unleashes forgiveness, and gives courage to find us together for good. You are the God who builds a kingdom where your will is on earth as it is in heaven, where debts are fully paid, broken life is restored, people rejoice, and are raised from the dead both now and in the future. You are good and blessed. You are good and blessed. You are good and blessed. Amen.